Here is Mike Fuda, LA Kings Vice President of Hockey Operations and Director of Player Personnel. How are you?
Wonderful, Darren. How are you?
Good. I'm doing great, actually.
I hope you last longer than I did in New York.
We had our holiday party last night. It's good.
Very quiet around the office.
A little quiet. on the
eighth
floor
today. Don't speak loudly.
Yeah. You know what? I used to have a coach when I was playing minor hockey, Heavy Evison, and he's a beauty. He was my mentor. He's passed on now. Dean Evison's brother, Futs, and Heavy was he was an awesome human being, but he was of the age when he still liked to go out, and we'd have these 7 a.m. practices on Thursday morning, and if you missed the net, you had to do push-ups because Heavy's head would be pounding, and the sound of the puck off the boards would drive him crazy. So he put this rule into place about missing that. But I digress. Where are you? You're out in the world scouting, or are you back?
I was out doing a swing through the Western Hockey League with our prospects, and just got back late from Arizona with the team last night.
So where are you with the evaluation of your team, given the loss of Jonathan Quick so early?
Well, it was a conversation that we thought we were hoping to never have, but I know Dean brought it up in the summer, but, you know, the Carey Price factor and where we'd be, and Jonathan ended up getting hurt first game against San Jose. And then we had a bunch of injuries straight throughout the system with regards to Jeff Zadkoff was injured, and even to our minor system, Jack Campbell tweaked himself. It was just a difficult process. Peter Budaj stepped up to the plate, and he's done an incredible job playing in admirably well. Zats gets healthy, and the team has played extremely hard around him. We've been fortunate to just, you know, stay with the pack and not lose up too much ground. And it's a credit to, obviously, the coaching staff, but everybody buying into the way we check and the way we defend. And it's been a good story for Peter Budaj up to now. I mean, he was pulled last night, and Zats came in. So hopefully the two of them can continue to give us great efforts and keep the ship ahead, the pack there until Quickie's ready to come back.
Do I remember correctly, did you coach Peter Budaj in junior?
I had him when I was the head coach of the St. Mike's Majors.
Right.
He was drafted in a European draft, so yes.
Okay, so
I was fired shortly after that.
What, for drafting him? Well, it worked out.
No,
now.
He showed up without equipment. He wasn't the problem.
It was Aussie. Anyway.
We all know that. I was going to let you say that.
A guy like Chad Johnson, for example, guys that are just, you know, there in as backups or in the minors like he is with Calgary, and then, you know, Budaj here. Is it a lot of it, when I say blind luck to a degree, or is there an element that you think you can read some guys maybe are mentally more up to it to grab that brass ring should you have a kind of an emergency like you guys do?
I think it's more the latter, and it's a good story. I mean, if you look at Peter, for example, 2 years ago, he went the entire season without a win in the American Hockey League, and it looked like his career was down, and we needed somebody in our American Hockey League system. I obviously knew him as a person, and Billy really liked what he saw, and Dusty Emu had him as well, and we were just thought this would be a great guy to get in our system as far as having backup plan, and he ended up being the American Hockey League goaltender of the year. It's where they're at mentally, perseverance. I think sometimes goalies have fit into certain systems better than others. I mean, we do play a very strong defensive style under Daryl and the group, but you know, it's not as difficult on goaltenders if they can see the puck. And, of course, they've got to make big saves at timely times. But he's fit in extremely well. And, again, we realize Jonathan Quick is the guy that stirs the rink around here. But it's been very admirable to see with the injuries that we've had, not only to him, but Gabby and McNabb and a few. Kopi was out for an extended period there, that the guys have been able to stay afloat and keep us in the playoff race. So it's been all positive.
Big game last night for Jordan Nolan. He scores his first two goals of the season. Was excellent on the ice yesterday. How crucial was Jordan Nolan? Or let me phrase this a different way. If it weren't for Jordan Nolan, Mike, would you have signed Jake Muzzin?
Well, that's a great point. I think we probably would have had a shot because we had Andrew Campbell up there as well, and we were working on Colin Miller at the time. But if I hadn't been spending time up with Jordan and Sault Ste. Marie, I wouldn't have had the quality time, and it was actually Soupy Campbell that set me up with my interview with Jake Muzzin. But it was that liaise between Dave Torrey and the guys that we'd already drafted that just kept Jake Muzzin just kept jumping off the ice as, how is this guy not playing in somebody's system? And you know, the story, obviously, with the back surgery with Pittsburgh, it was a real fortunate thing on our part. And then be able to get him into our system and let the development team and our American League staff take over it's a great story because Jake has obviously turned out to be a star National Hockey League defenseman. Great compliment for Drew Doughty.
Mike Foot is with us, the LA Kings Vice President of Hockey Operations, Director of Player Personnel. He's gracious with us when he comes on the show, and we have some fun with him. How often does that happen? And maybe a better question is, how difficult is it as a scout to keep your eyes wide open instead of getting fixated on just the player that you're watching?
Well, I think that's part of the process that's the most fun, is when somebody finds you and starts to do things that you hadn't heard about. And again, if you see it on a repetitive basis, that's the biggest thing. It's you can have that flash in the pan and catch the, it's like the one hit wonder where you see somebody have a game. I remember there was one kid that had 3 goals in one game, and he ended up with 4 in a year, but I saw the 3 goals in one game. You do the math. You do the math, it can be difficult, but you know, the part is that's really good about, I mean, in all the organizations, everybody has their own way, is support staff you have for me to be able to call Mark and Eddie and back it up, and then to get the video in front of Dean and our development team come in and see certain aspects that we know they can work on and develop, and it makes a very imperfect science a lot more close to being perfect if you have a bunch of really quality people looking at the product before you make your final decision.
This is just a bit of a throwaway, but when you see Jake a couple of times and you're starting to realize something, are you starting to look around and see if how many other scouts are there, and are you the only one seeing this?
Absolutely. It's a different, I remember with Jordan Nolan, for example, in the 7th round, I called Jordan Nolan. I said, Jordan, listen, I know you, I know your family. If we don't draft you, would you please come as a free agent to camp? And he said, well, he's been talking to 18 teams. So I just hung up the phone and plugged his name in and said, well, you're coming to one. So, you know there, because you know how many teams are involved. And the kid was blatantly honest, and it worked out well. Now, in a case like Jake Muzzin, I knew through his agent, Joe Resnick, that the Anaheim Ducks were very much involved. And then actually having at that time a much thinner, like we had Voyanov and Doughty and stuff, and on paper our defense wasn't attractive as a younger defenseman as far as how quickly you were going to get there, but we had a one-up on Anaheim at the time because we had an American League franchise, and Jake knew he was going to need time in the American Hockey League, and I believe at the time Anaheim was splitting teams, and it came down to a better development situation at the time, and Ron Hextall made a great call selling that to Jake and Joe Resnick, and Jake made a decision that really worked out in our favor. So yeah, as soon, especially with the 20-year-olds, if there's a draft scenario, it's not as pertinent or not as pressing, Darren, but if you all of a sudden find out it's a 20-year-old CHL kid that can sign tomorrow, you've really got to get your ducks in order, and basically Dean calls it, have that nuclear bomb contract, as only Dean could name it, something like that. but you can go in and without really asking a lot of questions off of the contract without going through all the proper channels when it's time-related.
As it relates to the draft, which is a strong bailiwick of yours that we know, where are you at on the idea of raising the draft age from his current of 18?
Well, I like it. I know Matthew Schneider was asking me to run around and chase Donald Spear around at Eric Lindros's Hall of Fame party to remind him how much I like it, but it's just another band. Under any circumstance, it's just a more finished product from a scout standpoint you're looking at. And I understand there's always going to be the exceptional athlete, and they have to find somebody. Like if there's somebody like a McDavid that's ready, whether it's a first rounder or an underages, but I just think that it's just an easier overall thing when you see a Tanner Pearson as a 19-year-old or Wayne Simmons as a 19-year-old, you get a much better idea of what you're looking at as opposed to younger player. But no, I'm sure it'll get talked out by a lot of great hockey minds, and I think it'll be good for everybody involved, and probably good for the quality of junior hockey as well.
Less than a minute here, Gordy.
Yeah, I only got about less than a minute. Just curious about when you're always drafting late because you're successful. Is there a different type of player you look at, you know, compared to, I know scouts hate it. They go, man, I'd love to pick one of those guys in the top 5, but I can't. What's the key when you're drafting late and also he's coming to a strong organization?
I think it's staying true to your identity. I've said it before, we would always, if we had a tie, we'd always take a defenseman over a forward. That only you'd ever have is a better swing at defense. I mean, at some point here, we're going to have to start trying to restock our goaltending. Well, but again, to your identity, I think the best player and just the best kid, the best in our case, probably the best student with the highest upside, because we've got such a strong development team, but it doesn't really help if you don't have a kid that's not willing to open up his his mind and learn and grow away from the puck, as well as just the kind of player he wants to play, but the player that we foresee him to be.
Last minute to play on the show, so quick one. Jonathan Quick, status update in 15 seconds.
Lower body injury.
Yeah.
Gary, told that story at the beginning.
Yeah.
Gordy would relate to this. When I played for the Toronto Marlies, they had the whiteboards, and if you shot wide, there was another guy that came out and yelled at you. His name was Harold Ballard. Because you weren't allowed to have black puck marks on the boards.
Right.
It was Minor, yeah. Adams and Adams.
It was a night, yeah.
Screamed at by Mr. Ballard to hit the net.
That, nice break from yelling at me.
And that's a great deflection off the actual question. Thanks.
Oh, you guys ask something else?
Yeah. Unfortunately, we're out of time. We can't go down to Fuda. Thank you. Mike Fuda, nice. LA Kings Vice President of Hockey Operations.